إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أنه لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه صلى الله عليه وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى صحابته الكرام ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله في السر والعلن، يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، the شرائع. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and made a complaint about his weakness, saying, Ya Rasulullah, inna shara'i' al-Islami qad kathurat alayhi. He made a complaint. He said, the rules of Islam are too many, meaning there's so much good. I need you to narrow it down for me for one thing to do. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا يزال لسانك رطبا من ذكر الله. Keep your heart, your tongue constantly moist with dhikr of Allah. Something very simple that he could do. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam having a problem with zina and told him directly, make it permissible for me. Another man entered Islam and he had a problem with salah. He said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm entering Islam, but I want one thing from you. Permit me that I don't have to pray. And the Prophet answered all of these newcomers and gave them the cure and the medicine for their problem. But what is the point? The point is that the Sahab, these new Muslims, and some were Sahaba, all of them became Sahaba. Some were already in Islam for some time. They had no problem complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam of their weakness in establishing all the rules of the deen. And in these cases, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them a cure. And the overall general cure for every difficulty that we have in handling the sharia, in accepting the limitations Allah puts upon us and the obligation He places upon us, there is one general cure for all of this, and that is dhikrul akhirah. Remembering that this is not heaven here on earth, nor will life on earth exist forever for us. And that inna darul akhirah lahiya al-hayawan. The afterlife is the real life. And the mu'min, the sign of a mu'min, if you want to be a mu'min, you have a sign. One first precondition is that yu'minuna bil ghaib. They believe in the unseen. This is the entire issue. And all of the rules and all of the laws are meant for us, almost symbols, to express our iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you truly believe in the ghaib, which is the key, then do this. If you truly trust in Allah, then do this. It is as if Allah is telling us, if you truly believe in me, if do you trust me, then do this. Do you trust me, then don't do this. This is the root of iman. Al-imanu bil-ghaib. Ghaib, it means unseen. It means that which is unseen. The only way to actually live as if the ghaib is visual to us is in a constant recitation, a constant recitation of its signs. This is why all of the small surahs, they're about ghaibiyat. All the surahs that every Muslim prays with, Al-Zalzala, Al-Adiyat, Al-Qari'ah, Al-Takathur, all of them are about descriptions of death and afterlife. The shortness of this life, the brevity of this life. Because Allah knows 99% of the prayer that occurs by Muslims is with qisar as-sur, short surahs. And this is what we're told. Short surahs, we're told to use them in the prayer. Allah Azza wa Jal wants us constantly doing a recitation, not just of hell, but of paradise as well. Surah Al-Insan tells us on sofas, on roads, in which the pebbles are made of gold. The pebbles on the road are pearls and gold, on which neither is there ever darkness, nor blazing heat, nor cold, nor anyone to bother us. The speech between people is never meaningless. There's never, you never cross someone's path in Jannah and say, oh, it's him. Okay, what do I need to do? Well, let's talk about the weather. Oh, beautiful day out. And you're just thinking in the back of your mind, can you please keep walking? Because I don't want to talk to you. This never happens. There's no laghu. Between two people, there is no hatred. There is only mahabba. Ikhwanan ala sururi mutaqabilin. See, we don't understand paradise because the joy of humans in this life is fulfilling work. This is the joy of humans. Fulfilling work. Your joy. You have a job. Your career. You fulfill it. You have children. You raise them well. This is the joy. In this life, the joy is good work. And seeing the end result in the next life, you have to understand and know it is constant joy of the body and soul and gratification of your body and soul eternally. There's no work. There's no volunteering. There's no missions. This is what paradise is. Constant recitation to ourselves of dhikrul akhirah. This is going to make the orders that we receive from Allah easy. Because when you look at how extreme the punishment is and how extreme the pleasure is, you realize everything that we are asked in this life is actually, the scales are never going to be even. We are asked so little in this life in return to something so great. One of the things that people have a lot of problems with that we have to emphasize, and you have to study the fiqh of it, and you have to realize that this hukum shar'i, this rule of sharia, is not about perspectives. It's not about opinions. We have, the ulama have discussed it, and that is riba. A hukum, a ruling many people have difficulty with because it's intertwined with our daily lives. Intertwined with our daily lives. So what is riba? It's simply an exchange of two currencies. Money for money transaction. Loans in which one side is getting more than the other side. In Sharia, in Islam, to give people loans should not be a business or a method of earning. To loan money is not an industry. The entire industry would have an X on it. Not every, just because something is an industry that employs hundreds of thousands of people means that it's valid. Giving out loans is not a valid industry nor valid way to make money in our shara. Because it leads to great corruption. One of the basic wisdoms of it, the man who's taking a loan for $1,000 means he doesn't have $1,000. How is he going to give you back $1,250? He didn't have the first thousand, then how should he expect it to have $1,250? It means that just by inheriting wealth and giving it out, that this is someone's employment. It's not accepted. You're doing nothing for society by giving out wealth that you have. It means that you make more money from a vice. The vice being that the person doesn't pay back in time. You hope that he doesn't pay back in time so that you can earn more in interest. Paying back loans on time is a virtue. Delaying your loan payment is a vice. Making money off of vice is prohibited. You should hope then that more people fall in debt. So when the society and the people in society are falling into poverty and debt, a certain group of people gain in their industry and in their wealth. Those who are giving out loans. So the lone person giving out loans is hoping for destruction in society. He benefits when there's more poverty and more need and expenses go up and people's income goes down. So he benefits. This is a problem. So Sharia has prohibited this matter. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cursed, meaning he is hope, he the word la'na in hadith and Quran in the Arabic language, la'na means far from the mercy of Allah, near to the punishment of Allah azza wa jal, unblessed. Barakah is blessing, which means I have a little bit, but with this little bit Allah opens many doors, more than logically accepted or expected. La'na is the opposite. You have so much, you have so much, but still at the last minute it all fails on you. This is la'na. This is when someone's cursed, that someone reaches the finish line then breaks his ankle. Not the normal way of losing. You're cursed. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, la'ana akilu riba, the one who is making his wealth off of riba. Wa mukilihi, the one who facilitated this, the one who gave the loan. Wa katibihi, the one who contracted it, the agent, the scribe. Wa shahidai, and the two who witnessed it, served as witness. That means, just like alcohol, everyone in the chain from A to Z, from A to Z, everyone in the chain, like alcohol, the bottling company, the shipping company, the guy who bought the warehouse for them to have it, the guy who runs the farm to make the grapes, the entire industry, and all those who facilitate it, the la'na is upon them. Some things are like this. Not everything is like this. Pork, for example, you can work at a restaurant, simply tell the guy, I'll serve anything except pork. And pork is being passed right in front of you. It's halal, it's a halal job. But this is not. This is not. Riba, to go help accounting for a liquor store is no different than help in the accounting of a riba transaction, let alone doing the transaction, being part of the transaction. We have to realize that this is such a danger to society. We're witnessing it now. The great poverty, what's the cause? They all know, it's the banks. It's the banks. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam cursed their deen and their dunya. Quran tells us, let's talk about the deen of someone involved in a ribawi transaction. He says, لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس. He doesn't get up for any good deed except as if someone who is touched by shaitan and made insane. Why? Because you're doing a good deed for Allah Azza wa Jal and waging war on him at the same time. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of those who commit riba, فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. You are so destructive to society at large. Okay? That the Prophet, the Quran tells us, it's as if you are waging war with Allah Azza wa Jal. On the Yawm al-Qiyamah, the people who do riba will be called and thrown a sword. They'll say, what is the purpose of this sword? They say, he'll say, he'll be told, look in front of you. He'll look and he'll see rows of malaika with swords. He'll try to kill himself, but death will already have been killed. There's no death. He'll keep slicing his neck with his own sword. Why is Allah Azza wa Jal giving us such grave imagery for this? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam woke one day and he said, I saw a dream. The dream was there was a river of blood and a man yelling, screaming, trying to get out of it. Every time he comes out of it, malaik are there, throw a boulder on his head and he falls back into it. Why this gross imagery? Do you know, my brothers and sisters, have you ever been in debt? Have you ever been in need? Have you ever been impoverished? What emotions are going on in your heart? These images are those emotions. Have you ever been unemployed? Have you ever been poor? Have you ever fell asleep not knowing where the money is going to come from tomorrow? Have you ever not have a home to live in? And you can't pay your rent? Have you ever been searching for an apartment to live in, for a job? Do you know what goes on in the heart of a man who has a family and he can't find a job? This is the result. By the thousands and millions of a system that raises up the riba industry and crushes everything else. You're crushing the souls of men. You're destroying the futures of youth. This is what that industry does. Every other industry, you're a doctor, you make 100,000, 200,000. You're a dentist, you're doing something for society, you're making good money. These people who are in the riba, they're making millions of dollars when they get fired. They walk away with $3 million bonuses when he gets fired. What do you walk away with when you get fired? 2 weeks notice? Why is this industry, it's so out of control that you can see the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he said, don't even take the first step, because this industry will engulf the entire society and thousands of hearts of men, women, and children will be torn apart by the nerve anxiety of poverty, of debt, of hopelessness of the future. How many youth today, they know they will not have a financial future as good as their parents? How many youth today are on heroin, knowing, why should I be working all day and going to school when all I'm doing is inheriting debt? What's this debt coming from? Because these shayateen of ins, these shayateen of ins, when they realized people can't buy enough stuff anymore, the product became debt. And the debt gets compounded with interest. Interest is the biggest problem in the society today, which is going to lead to wars. Because eventually, who is the best customer for a bank? What's the best customer for an interest-based bank? They're all interest-based. It's a government. It's not a person. It's a government. And why does a government ever need a loan? Immediate. Trillions of dollars. Why? For wars. For wars. Go look at the history of all the wars. Who made the most money off these wars? They're all banks. Made huge profits off the interest loans that governments took for wars. You see the harms of riba? So when war happens, they benefit. When people are orphaned, and women are widowed, and men get their arms cut off, or blinded, or their legs cut off, and they go home, the source behind who fed this war was a business based on riba. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked so grievously, such exaggerated imagery, such as being drowned in a river of blood, being told to wage war on an army of angels, having your head smashed. Why? This is the crime that they committed. All of those images were what was in the emotions of people as a result of this one industry of money lending. We as individuals are commanded not to take part in any part of this business. Even if we are making a loan to buy some clothes from a store with our credit cards, and the interest that we might pay after 2 months is only $13. Not accepted. It's not accepted. This is how severe it is. And we haven't seen yet the worst results of the riba industry. We haven't seen it yet. It's coming. Look, read. All the analysts, they're telling us, the banks, they're going to have to find a way to make more money. And they're going to use it through wars. They're already used it to make your home so expensive, they give you homes and you're going to have to pay 10 times more. College loans. Who's at fault here? All the riba-based industries. Who's at fault for all this? Who's to blame? This issue of riba is something that a Muslim should consider worse than najasa. Worse than najasa. Would you want some blood in your food, on your clothes? Would you want urine and defecation on your clothes or on your kitchen table? What happens if there is a drop of blood, a drop of urine in the hallway outside the bathroom? What do? You run and clean it right away. wait a second, it's just a drop. What if I said, I'm making a soup here, but a little bit of blood went, just a drop. What do you do with the whole vat of soup? You throw the whole thing out. So you understand the concept of filth when you see it. Now you have to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He tells you, even a drop of money or income earned from a loan, from riba, from facilitating riba, from working for a company that facilitates riba, that their main job is riba. You understand blood in your soup, don't you? You understand urine in your cereal, in your drink. Someone else spit in your coffee. Just a drop. You gonna drink it? This is the same thing. The only difference is you don't see it. It's unseen. What did Allah say? The mu'min, he believes in the ghaib. He believes in the promise of Allah. The judgment of Allah means more than what our own two eyes see. Our own two eyes see something. What do you believe in more? What your own two eyes see? Or the judgment of your God and your Lord? And if you say no, then you don't believe in your God. You have to test again. Check again. What is the level of your iman at that point? This issue of riba, look deeply. Are your children eating from it? When they eat food, the innocent children, are they eating from it? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the wealth, the food, the growth of a child, if his growth, the flesh, is come from food earned through the riba industry or passed by the riba industry in any way, shape and form, it is more worthy to be thrown in the fire. It doesn't say he will be. It says it is worthy. That means it deserves it. It deserves, this flesh deserves to be put in the fire because it passed through this poison to society, the money lending industry. It also means the wealth that is eaten from haram, the actions of that person will lean towards the haram as well. كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا. Eat pure food and do good deeds. Means, if you eat pure food, you will naturally incline to the good. If your food is all haram or earned from the haram, you will naturally incline to the haram. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. A worldly guarantee from Allah. Not only will this individual who is engaged in riba get up with laziness, with contradictions in his head when he does worship, that's his spiritual problem. Let's say some of us don't care. All we care about is money. All right. If you believe in Allah, He says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى. Which means, you're gonna gather it. You can make a lot of money. There's a guarantee from Allah. If it's based on riba, expect one day for it to collapse completely. Tell me, in what industry can you go from being a millionaire to a pauper, poor, impoverished in one day? Not only one day, 13 minutes. Stock market crash, a whole bunch of millionaires, they have nothing. Tell me what industry do people kill themselves at the rate of Wall Street bankers? Yeah, I've never seen a doctor have a bad day at the office and come home with no money. Why? This curse is not upon those other jobs. Dentists, engineers, accountant, trash picker-uppers. All these people, it's a regular job. You get money, you keep it. Good, it's halal. These people are cursed. Go and look. Every time the stock market crashes, one of these Wall Street people jumps off a building. His portfolio goes from having $7 million. Now he's at zero. Because a lot of what they're doing is not even regular investment anymore. It's all gambling. All under the different things under the banner of riba. You think, what is making money? Well, you make something nice, you sell it to the people. Not for these people. It's stuff that you won't even understand at the end of the day. This is a game. What's the difference between it and Las Vegas? Go ask the experts, they'll tell you really nothing. It's legal, that's the only difference. It's a gamble. This is why they go from having millions and in 13 minutes on a Tuesday morning, they're gone to zero and they're going to jump off a cliff. Yamhaqullahu riba. Allah destroys it. That wealth will be destroyed. Do not be fooled by the short-term gains of riba. Look at the long-term harms. Long-term. How about Allah waging war on a person? Okay, you bought the house with riba. Now your kid gets cancer 2 years later. What's the point? You enjoying your home? Yeah, you have a home that you own now so you can cry in it all day and all night. Think of the bigger picture and don't fall for the very simple sophomoric mistake that what looks good in the short term is good. No, it's not always like this. What benefits me now and saves me now is good. Not necessarily like this. You look at the long term. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to open our basira and see that this industry of money lending is the root cause of so much destruction, of so much pain of the individuals in our society. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pull us out of this industry and make us have not a cent of ribawi wealth, neither from riba nor from facilitating it. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadait, wa barik lana fi ma a'tait, wa qina wasrif anna sharra ma qadait. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا عليك توكلنا وإليك أنبنا وإليك المصير اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان يا رب ارحم واصلح واغفر واستر واحفظ وتجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد يا رب ارحم واصلح واغفر واستر واحفظ وتجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد اللهم إنا نسألك لجميع مرضى المسلمين اللهم عجل بشفاء مرضى المسلمين اللهم عجل وفك كرب فقراء المسلمين. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for all those who are sick in our ummah that you give them a speedy shifa, that you give them strength. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for all those who are impoverished, who have needs, financial and otherwise, that you speedily alleviate their needs before they exit this Jumu'ah, that you write in the book of destiny that their needs will be alleviated. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal for all those moving, having ambitions, working. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal, make that give them a pure halal path and let them reach their goals and let it be blessed in this life and the next. We finally ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make more beloved to us, more beloved than our parents and our spouses and our children and our own selves, His most beloved, Sayyid al-Kawnayn, Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa aqim as-salah.